Well, it is what it is. You know, with that BP Gulf plug holding down there, it looks pretty much like, cross fingers, knock on wood, that
they're ahead
this
of
is
schedule.
The amount of oil. Well, this is the oil that we're going to be dealing
this
with.
This is it.
The amount
the,
that's
the sum
still
total.
Not going to be any more.
Right.
But it's not as though this is the only pollution disaster in the Gulf that's ever happened.
No, or is still happening.
But certainly there's nothing that's happened in the Gulf up till now that's had such an emotional impact on the workers and the people who rely on the Gulf for their livelihood. Did you hear that?
Well, it's shocking. I mean, it's shocking. It's a shocking thing.
Well, let's play again the voice of the Captain Martin Ebding. He was interviewed yesterday by a couple of our producers here on The Takeaway. And you can hear in his sort of heart what's going on with the wetlands.
The Gulf is over as we known it, us captains, my colleagues and I. There's just no there's no replacing that. I mean, the way we see it, in our lifetime, it will never be the same.
Well, there's no arguing with the sentiments of that captain.
Or the facts.
But it is a scientific question. Let's put that question to some scientists. Aaron Viles, is a biologist and campaign director for the Gulf Restoration Network, joining us from New Orleans, Louisiana this morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And Dr. Felicia Coleman is director of the Florida State University Coastal and Marine Laboratory in Northwest Florida. Good morning to you, doctor.
Good morning.
So to both of you, and I'll begin with you, Aaron, is the Gulf over as we've known it? Is that a fair statement, or what's going on now?
I think the Gulf is certainly going to be different, but I don't think that this is the death knell for the Gulf of Mexico. Try as we may, we have tried for really years. We've abused the Gulf for quite some time now, and whether it's the dead zone that happens every summer because of the inputs from the Mississippi River, the nitrogen and the phosphorus coming from farms and upriver, it's a huge ecosystem impact that happens every year. It grows to an area the size of New Jersey, and it's an area that really most marine life needs to either swim out of or die. Yet the Gulf is still a very productive ecosystem. So we have abused it for quite a while, and I think this BP drilling disaster is really the high watermark when it comes to an oil abuse to the Gulf of Mexico. But it is an amazingly robust ecosystem, and I don't think that life as we know it, marine life as we know it in the Gulf of Mexico is over. I think we certainly will we'll see a decrease in productivity in the next few years, certainly. But we don't really know, we can't say how big that decrease in productivity is going to be and ultimately how long it will take for this this ecosystem to rebound.
Well, we don't know how it comes out because we don't know the mechanisms of adaptability that you so persuasively describe for us. And that dead zone, let's remind people, comes from nitrogen and phosphates and fertilizers coming out of the Mississippi that deprives certain underwater areas the size of the state of New Jersey, as Aaron Viles says, of oxygen, which becomes a living dead zone there in the Gulf. And that's a seasonal phenomenon that certainly predates what's gone on with the BP. Dr. Coleman, what is the nature of this abuse over time that Aaron Viles talks about, and how has nature coped with it, in your view?
Well, from the perspective of the oil spill, we really can't imagine what the outfall from that's going to be. And we don't see the big spill on the surface anymore, but we still don't know what's happening below the surface. And we really need to put this in the context of the damage that's already occurred, really by thousands of little cuts that are made collectively over the last 100 years, and all of those compromise the integrity of the Gulf of Mexico ecosystem. And in terms of the resiliency of the system, I think systems are adapted for the most part to take on small disturbances and recover from those. What they're not used to are these kind of the frequency and the magnitude of the types of cuts that we've made over the last few decades. And areas like the deep sea have never experienced impacts like that.
Right.
The recovery there is likely going to take much, much longer than what we could imagine for the coastal areas.
Well, I need both of you to really help me out this morning, because looking at reports yesterday, and we're actually hearing reports that fishing areas might reopen, I feel that the political institutions in the United States, and certainly the media in the United States, has possibly done a huge disservice by talking in exclusively hyperbolic terms about this devastation. And I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture here, but I feel like maybe saying this is the worst disaster of all time or things are never going to return to normal really does a disservice to people trying to figure out what's actually happening. What would you tell people this morning, Aaron Viles, about the resilience or the prospects for a natural recovery in the Gulf that would put some meaning in here, because we've heard all these hyperbolic statements?
Well, I think from day one, folks who are responsibly concerned about this ecosystem and pay attention to the science have always had a lot of qualifiers in how they've described this. Because, again, we just don't know. We've never seen anything like this before. The biggest spill previous to this was the Ixtoc spill in Mexico, and it was horribly understudied. But we know that the Gulf is a resilient ecosystem, that there's always been, to some degree, and I don't want to minimize this, but there's always been some degree of oil in the Gulf. There are seeps out there. What we're seeing now is certainly unprecedented, and we've never seen 2 million gallons of Corexit dumped into this ecosystem. So you can't say that you have any certain knowledge of how the ecosystem is going to respond.
Right, right, right.
And so how is this a disaster? Certainly it's a disaster. We've shut down fishing for a wide swath of the Gulf, and I think we did that reasonably, and I think it was done in the proper kind of precautionary
right,
approach.
And we'll see where that goes. Aaron Viles, let's get a final word from Dr. Felicia Coleman. Is there a good story you can tell about a species that is beloved in the Gulf, maybe, that we've seen pictures of oil-soaked birds and turtles, et cetera?
Well, I think the main point that I'd like to make really is more about these cumulative impacts. So oil is not the only thing going on. And at some point, we'll have impacted the system so much that we're going to hit a tipping point, whether it's the oil or something else. It causes a really serious flip in the ecosystem's health.
And that tipping point is really what scientists are going to be looking for, and we'll be following that as well. Dr. Felicia Coleman, director of Florida State University Coastal and Marine Laboratory in Northwest Florida, and Aaron Viles, biologist and campaign director for the Gulf Restoration Network. Thanks to both of you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.